Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Down to love, didn't think you were Thank you. Wait, no, Melodies from heaven, rain down on me. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad that the Lord has blessed us, O God, to be in the land of the living. He kept us through the night and brought us into this wonderful day. It's not too hot and it's not too cool. It is just right. My granddaughter was telling me, taking her to work this morning, she was telling me, she said, we just love this temperature. We just love this weather. I wish it would just stay like this all year round. But we know it's not going to. So we just blessing the Lord and praising the Lord for this wonderful day. And today we're doing part two of this message. We might do part three. Pray for me because I have a headache in the back of my left part of my head is very, very, very painful. It's hurting. I mean, it's really hurting. But we believe in God that by the time we get going in this message, that the headache is going to totally leave us. And I can't take any aspirin or Tylenol or any of that kind of stuff. The doctor told me he don't want me to take any of that stuff because it'll mess with my kidneys. So he said, don't take any of that kind of stuff. So I have to trust with a little baking soda and mother's vinegar will take away the pain. And personally, I prayed already and laid hands on my head, asking God to take away the pain. So we're going to do part two of the message from yesterday. And I know as I was studying these today, this morning and last night, it looks like the Lord wants us to really go into these scriptures and work on these scriptures. And so it's going to take us a little while to get through these scriptures, so we're probably going to do a part three. Who knows, a part four, I don't know. But let's go in. Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning. Thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser. Thank you for Minister Jones and the Prophetess Cheryl Kershey. Lord, we thank you for all those that are coming on and those that will come on, those that are listening by way of satellite system. Father, we pray for all United States of America. We pray for Africa and India and China. Pray for the nations of the world. But mainly, Lord, we got to start with our nation because there's turbulence in our nation right now. People are killing people. People are robbing people. There's a lot of stuff going on. People are being kidnapped. Babies are, excuse me, babies' lives are being taken before they can even get to walk or talk. A nurse was just arrested for killing, I think, about 8 or 10 babies in the hospital, you know. This is a lot of wickedness. A lot of wickedness is in the earth. So we have to really pray that God will continue to move. He will continue to move on our behalf. and that he would bless us in spite of how things are, and that we will continue to pray for those that are not like us, that are not focusing on the kingdom of God. You understand? We have to pray for them. We have to pray for those that come against us and talk about us. We have to pray for them. We can't get and act like people. We have to pray and ask God to change the hearts and minds of people. Because why? We are God's children. We are his workmanship. So we have to act like him. So we bless the Lord. Let's go into this word and see what the Lord has to say to us. In the book of Ephesians, let's start at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 17. And we are coming out the New Living Translation. You know, I like that. I also have the King James Version here with us. And we're going to pull up, the Logos Bible, because we like that too. That's one of our books, versions of the Bible. So let's go in here in the New Living Translation. Paul says, "With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused." People that are not saved, that are not sanctified, are hopelessly confused. They don't think that they are confused. I want to tell you this. They'll mock us, they'll mock God, and they'll say all types of things. They don't believe that they are confused, but they are, until they found Jesus, just like we were. We were hopelessly confused until God found us. Let's say it this way. Until God found us, and drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were hopelessly confused. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. To 29. Hallelujah. This book says 28. In the King James Version says it goes down to, that's amazing. It goes to 32. Hallelujah. So, here, let's work it in the Logos, the translation, Living Translation. He says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. And you know that people today, you hear them in the street. I don't want to hear anything about God. I am not into that stuff. I'm living my life. I'm having a good time. This is what they say. Do you hear me? But glory to God, when you get saved, something happened on the inside. A change takes place. We talk about that in Romans chapter 12. In our mind, in our spirit man, we talk about in Romans chapter 6. We begin to live in a new life, walking in the spirit instead of walking in the flesh. Paul says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Verse 19 says, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. You maybe know some people like that. I know some people like that. All they're living for is for want to have sex. They want to drink. They want to smoke. You know? They want to do things that suffice the flesh, that satisfy the flesh. They're not interested in in our building up and mortifying the spirit. They're not interested in that. You know, this is why they fuss and call at every little thing, because they're not concerned about building up the spiritual man. Hallelujah. Here we see here, glory to God, Paul continued to work this thing. He says, verse 19, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learn about Christ. That is not what you learn about Christ. You are different because you now take on the very essence of who Christ is. This is part two today. We are changing every day. We are not what we want to be, but we are not who we used to be. We are changing. So Paul makes this thing very clear in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 17 to 32. We're going to probably stop at 29, but let me see what I got on my paper. Oh, bless the name of, we probably stop at 24, verse 24. Let's see. If the Lord wants you to go to the end, we'll go there. But we want to pull out some stuff out of here. He said, but that isn't what you learned from Christ. Verse 21 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. See, with Paul, this is so powerful. Let's read that again. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off the old sinful nature, that's the flesh, the need, the desire of the flesh, and your former way of life, way of thinking and doing things, you put away, which is corrupted by lust and deception, lying, cheating, falsehood. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. We have to trust God to do the work in us that needs to be done, because we can't do it. You know, you're a baby, if you're 40 years, you're 35 years, 26, however old you are. You've been trying to do things on your own for the longest time. But you find out that as you were trying to do things, that you always end up at the same place when you started. You end up doing the same things you've been doing. And you end up getting the same results. And we call that a fool. I was a fool for a long time. Because I was trying to do things the way that I thought I could do things and fix things. And I end up doing the same thing over and over and over. And getting the same results. Hallelujah. But when I turn my life over to Christ, When I submit and commit to Christ, I surrender my life to him, things start to change. Things start working out in my favor. God starts doing things for me that I couldn't do for myself. He said, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This is the part that really beats us. Because we want to be different, but we don't want to change. We want to be different, but we don't want to change. You can't not be different if you continue doing the same thing. If you continue going to the same places, we used to say in Narcotics Anonymous, if you keep going to the same place and doing the same things, you'll keep getting the same results. If you keep going by the hot dog stand, knowing that you shouldn't eat hot dogs, eventually you're going to buy a hot dog because of the smell. It's just like going down by the dope man, passing the dope man, knowing that he sells that particular dope that you like. Passing by the liquor store all the time, and you know you're trying to get off of alcohol. You're trying to quit drinking, stop drinking beer and drinking hard liquor. But every day you find yourself walking right by the liquor store, driving by the liquor store, standing out front talking to somebody, and your flesh begin to talk to you. Well, why, since you're so close to the liquor store, why don't you just go in and get a six-pack? Why don't you get a fifth of Jack Daniels or or cognac or something. And you say, but no, that people don't know that I'm trying to stop liquor, stop drinking. I go in there and get it, pick up. And you off to the races again. You've been clean for 2-3 weeks, 2 months, 4 months, 5 months. But you keep going by that place, and eventually you back off to the races. We have to make a decision in our life to take a stand for righteousness, for holiness, to change. Hallelujah, to change. We used to say you got to get away from people, places, and things. The things that take us on the wrong path, we have to cut ourselves from. This is talking about the power of sin has been broken at the cross. Jesus broke the power of sin. Now we have to trust him to lead us on the path that we need to walk. We can't walk by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. You know, when Jesus picked out his 12 disciples, he spent more time trying to teach them how to walk different, how to live different than anything else in the world. Because if you go back and study, Peter always wanted to fight, especially Peter. Peter wanted to deny him 3 times in the cock crow. Always wanted to fight. In the garden, when they come to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the man's ear. Jesus reached down, picked the man's ear up, and put the centurion's ear back on. He didn't have no kneeling tread, no sutra, like the doctors do. He just picked it up from the floor, from off the ground, and put it on the side of the man's head, put it back on. Healed, not bleeding no more, everything. He done. Told Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Peter still wanted to fight. He was cussing when the people tell him that he was Jesus, one of Jesus' followers. Because Jesus said that. He had to do what he had to do because eventually he was the one that's going to lead all the apostles to carry out the mission that God had given to them. If he didn't deny him, he would have been put in jail and probably been hanged or put on a cross or sawed like they did with Isaiah, you know, the saw Isaiah in half, you know, for teaching and preaching the gospel, for teaching the word of God. No. Let's go somewhere. Let me see if he wants us to go anywhere further this year. Let me go this further. Verse 25, because we're talking about this sin has been broken, the power of sin. So he says, so stop. Verse 25, chapter 4 of Ephesians. He said, we'll take it to the end. He says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. Even your unsaved neighbor that don't know Christ at all is part of the body. How do you know that? He's not saved. How can he be part of the body? Jesus said so in John chapter 17. Let's hold your finger right there. Let me share with you said so. Ah, God. Because when you hear the scripture, you tell people, you say, well, how can they be part of the body and they're not saved? Well, here in John 17, he says to the Father, this is the longest prayer that Jesus made, and Jesus prayed a lot to his ministry. John 17, chapter 17, verse 1 to 26 is the longest prayer. He's talking to the Father. He says, let's share the verse that he said that there's others that belongs. He said, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, talk about the disciples or the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. So there's others that belongs there, that are part of the body. They're not yet in there yet, but they're part of the body. God said that they will believe on him through their word, the word that he gave them, the word that they're preaching. This word, when they preach the word, he called it their word, but it was his word. I'm preaching the word. This is my word. God give it to me. Really and truly, it's his word. But he said, when I'm preaching it, call it your word. Your word you are preaching to the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here back in Ephesians chapter 4, we start at verses 17. We're going down to the bottom 32. Here he says, verse 25 again. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you, see? Don't sin by letting anger control you. First, you must understand that anger don't come from God. You must know that. It comes from the devil. He arouses your spirit from what you hear or what you see or what is going on, and you get angry. And then you want to activate the anger. You want to hurt somebody. You want to do something wrong. You understand? So he given us instructions how to walk under the anointing, under the power, and in the spirit of God. This is what Paul is saying to us. He says, so stop telling lies, and let us tell our neighbors the truth, excuse me, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control us. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. You know, when you get angry, it's easy because anger belongs to the devil, anger. So it gives the devil a foothold. He can come on in because now you are activating something that belongs to him. And you forget that you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that the water that comes out of his side and the blood wash you and cleanse you. You forget that you're clean. See, because your spirit man is clean, but your flesh is still filthy. You understand that? Your spirit man, that's why you say some preachers can preach the word, and quick 5 minutes after preaching the word, they'll cuss you out. I've seen it happen before, many times. Preachers preach, and after they finish preaching, they're snorting cocaine. They're locked in the office, drinking cognac, gin, whatever, Jack Daniels, whatever they like, corn liquor. Why? Because there's nothing clean in this flesh. This flesh still wants to do what the flesh does. You say, well, I got a husband, and she's a prophetess. She's a prophet. And says she got a boyfriend or even a girlfriend. Because you got to know that the women are mind each other, and they say they have their own ministry. They got their ministry. Right, because all the gay people coming to their church. And they call them first lady. Men married to men, and they call them first gentlemen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because that nasty flesh got them doing them kind of stuff. They know it's not of God. They know it's not of God. You got one pastor down there, Jamal Brent. He's got the church in Atlanta. Big church, mega church, 3 services a day. Hear what I'm telling? The Bible said we got to expose the wolves. I'm not in agreement with any wolf. I don't care what nobody says. I'm not telling that I'm perfect because I'm not perfect by a long shot. I still got faults. I got faults. That's why I take them to God every night and every morning. I ask God to forgive me. Have mercy on me. Strengthen me in the areas of my life that I'm weak, Lord. Every day, every night. You got to take it because if you think that you got it together, guess what happened? The devil will take you out. The devil will take you. If you think that you're so holy and so fast, devil says, I got something for you. I'm gonna show you. But take your weakness to God. God will make you strong. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? He's strong in the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Don't push your chest up because you know 2 scriptures. Listen what he said. Glory to God. Oh, man. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Don't give him a foothold by getting angry. Go and say, you see, you get mad, upset with your wife. Why if you get upset with your husband because your husband said something or do something? Man, make up before. Make up before you go to sleep. Kiss each other. Say, baby, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for me letting anger take over my spirit. Honey, you know I love you. And then both of you go before the Lord in prayer. Say, Father God, forgive us, for we have sinned against you and against each other. Let him know that, because against God. God is the plus sign or the glue that puts your marriage together and holding your marriage together. So you got to take it to him. Take it to him and to each other. Hallelujah. So the devil know he don't have a foothold because guess what? We have come together. We have made up in Christ. And also we have taken it to Christ. We've taken it to our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So you'll be victorious all the time. Your marriage will stay strong. Hallelujah. It won't be easily destroyed. Like who you said, the devil said, man, you don't have to talk to her. Why you got to talk to you? You know you're the man. You're the head of the house. She don't want to talk because she feel that you have dissed her in some kind of way. But because you're the man, you can't even humble yourself and keep your marriage strong. You're going to go sit and turn your back on your wife because you want to play. You're the head of the house. Well, it's not a marriage. It's not a one-sided thing. It's not just you're the 100, she nothing. It's 50-50. You 50, she 50. That which make the marriage. Put the 50 together. No, you put the two 50s together, you got 100. So don't run off and say, well, the Bible said I'm the head of the house. Yes, that's true. But what's the head if the head, what good is the head if the head don't have a body? What good is the head if it don't have feet? What good is the head if it don't have hands? See, every part, every member of the body is important to the body, to the head. The head can't see without the eyes. Oh, God, I tell you, I don't know what the Lord gave me. But you know, you understand what I'm saying? So make up with your wife, make up with your children. Even when your son or daughter acting a fool. You say, well, you know, I'm the father here. You got to obey. Yes, they got to obey you. But sometimes we got to come down to their level and break it down for them instead of holding up the rod in the ear all the time. Break it down. Why, son, you know, if you continue like this, one day when you have children, they'll act the same way because it's a spirit. And you have to get control of that spirit. Train up the children in the way it should go. That when they get older, when they depart. No, we want to act like we all that. And then you're raising children that pick up your spirit. And they have the same spirit through their life. So the generational curse going from generation to generation, we don't break it. Break it with love and compassion. He said, with love and kindness, I've drawn thee. Break it with love and kindness. Kiss your wife. Wrap your arms around her. Let her know you love her. Even though you act a fool. Say, yeah, baby, that was my flesh acting up. I'm so sorry. Honey, say to your husband, honey, I'm so sorry. I talk out of turn and I upset you. I'm so sorry. That's still your wife. That's still your husband. Make the devil mad. Glory to God. Listen to what he said. This is so powerful. I didn't have this written down in my book to go this far. I only want to go to 24th verse. But this is what God said go. He said, if you are a thief, listen to what God is saying. Because sin has been broken at the cross, the power of sin. This is what God is saying to us. If you were a thief, stealing should not have any more power over you because it has been broken at the cross. He said, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Use your hands for good, hard work. Glory to God. And then give generously to others in need. Almost 74 years old. I just finished putting up seven electronic cameras on the house about an hour and 15 minutes or more from here. Just a couple of days, I come home Sunday from preaching, and a lady called me. The same lady, she called me. She got a lot of stuff doing. She got tennis, a lot of tennis. And she said, well, this tennis on the first floor got problems. Tennis on the second. I said, well, I will come Monday. So Monday after evening, I went over there because I said, well, you know, I got to teach the word. I go in the morning. I'm going to go in there. Because, you know, sometimes I go there and I got to go in the morning or go somewhere. It pulls on my heart because I love teaching the word of God. And this is my call. I retired from working at 62 and God took care of me ever since then. You know, ever since then, nobody don't send me money and say, well, boss, I know you retired this, that. No, I do this. I pay for this every month. It comes out of my checking account for this Blog Talk Radio ministry. Every month it comes out. We don't have to wait because I sign up my card, my bank account on there, and it just comes out every month. We pay for this. This is our 13 years since 2010. We've been doing this, and we never miss a payment. One time we miss a payment. Well, we missed a payment a couple of times because they hacked my card and we had to call the bank and shut down the card. We got the money back from the bank, though, but we had to wait for new cards. But it never shut down with that because we always pay. But apart from that, listen. He said, don't use foul language, see, or abusive language. You got to understand that you will change. And you have to get your tongue. Listen, let me put myself in there. We have to understand, know that we are changed and that we are changing. And we have to take control over our tongue. She said, I'm going to give you. And I had one lady used to come on here, the evangelist. We ordained her. She's in California. And she's from here in Boston. And she always tell people, when people get upset, she says, I'm going to give her a piece of my tongue. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind, not a piece of tongue. She said, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind.
And people say the slightest thing, she goes off. You know why? Because she keeps giving people pieces of her mind. He tells you here, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. The words that flow out of your spokes to build somebody up, not tear somebody down. These are the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We say that 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. All things, the old man has passed away. You're a new man. You got the same flesh, but your spirit has been renewed. You think different. You speak different. You act different. People are coming against us like wildfire, like honeybees. You know, when you go in the bush and you mistakenly hit a honeycomb, and the queen bee get out, and all the bees coming after you. Well, people are coming after us like that. Why? Because of the kingdom that's inside of us that's being seen. And it's affecting their darkness. Do not allow, we must not allow them to disturb us and cause, like the scripture said, cause us to be angry. No, don't allow them to do it. Sing a song to the Lord. Lord, I love these people. Tell them. That's all right. Sometimes you got to open your mouth and sound the alarm. Like Ezekiel said, you got to tell them, oh, it's all right. I know you all don't like me and cut to me out, but Jesus loves you and I love you too. I say it all the time on Blog Talk Radio. I love you, but Jesus loves you more. And that's going to make them even madder. But you're going to have peace. You're going to have peace on the inside. We have peace. Folk do some stuff to me that hurt me down to the core of my soul. And if I was the same man, I would be locked up in jail. But I'm not the same man. So I let God deal with that. He fight every battle that I got that comes before me. I don't fight the battle anymore. I pray. I was on with four people last night for long, yesterday evening for a long time ministering in from New Orleans. And no sooner I get over there, then I was on with Apostle Kersey. She and I was on the phone for a little over an hour, just talking. See, we building up each other. That's what we do. We build up each other. I'm not putting my, because I teach this word every day, and you hear it and you write down the scripture, I'm not putting myself, I'm not bigger than you. I'm not hiding you. I don't put myself up. If I get up, it's because Jesus lift me up. But my main objective is for us to hear the word and grow together, get the understanding so that we can walk in victory. We can live a victorious life. I got a call, got an information this morning from Evangelist Tina. And she said, well, tomorrow is the day. Well, I don't know yet because I haven't got it in my spirit from the Lord. So if tomorrow is the day and it comes through, I would get a notice to go to the bank and I instantly become a multimillionaire. But that wouldn't change me. You said, well, you saying that, Apostle, because you don't have a million now. I had more than a million already. And I blew it on cocaine. So I know how to handle millions now. I make money all the time. I send money to Africa, send money to India, send money to Barbados, send money to different countries, different parts in the world. The people called up and called to the ministry for help. This is what we do. That's what ministry is all about. We're not boasting or bragging, but that's what we're supposed to do as ministers of the gospel. He said, give to the poor. He said, when you give to the poor, you're lending to me, and I will repay you. God is not going to, the poor belongs to God. He's not going to let you give to the poor and brag and say, well, I give the poor this money and give the poor. No, they belongs to God. God said, I'm going to repay you. See, before you can get the check out or get send a Western Union or Cash App, somebody has to send you some money. Or you're getting a call from somebody to go do a job to make some money. God ain't going to let you boast on that you're taking care of his children. He's going to let you boast on that stuff. That's why you give. You give. Give all the time. Because God said do that. Make a way. I don't care if you give $5, $10, $2, $3. Give. I keep money in my ashtray. I don't smoke. My ashtray is just the same way like when I bought the car from the Cadillac dealer. 13 years, 2014, so it's about nine years ago, The ash red looked the same way. No, never had no ash, no cigarette, tobacco, nothing of that sky. My son, when he come here, he smokes. But when he smokes, he got to go outside. He can't smoke in my car. If he wants smoking cigarette, I pull over and get out of the car, go like your sugar. But he can't smoke in my car. You know, nobody can drive that car, smoke that car. Because it's God's car. He loaned me down. I use it for his glory. No, 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 no. Let's go in here because God give me another side note. So he says, listen. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Do you hear that? That's a place to highlight right there in your Bible. Verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? The Spirit that lives on the inside of you. If you're living contrary to the Word of God, we're going to show you when we go to another book in Galatians. If you're living contrary to God's Word, you are bringing sorrow to God's Spirit. The Spirit that lives on the inside of you. You're supposed to be a holy person. A royal priesthood. That's what you're supposed to be. You're a kingdom-minded person. I ought to be talking. People coming against me like crazy, man. Look, I said, God, I thank you. Because the devil, though, listen, a thief does not go into empty safe. You hear me? A thief does not break into an empty safe. If a thief break in a safe, if it's empty, it's because something went wrong. But he's not breaking into. If he hear that safe is empty, he's not going to break it in. He hear there's money in that safe. They say that, man, so-and-so, man, they always keep a lot of money in their safe, man. The safe is in the bedroom on the left wall in that bedroom. They can break. Now, if they're breaking, they're mad at the person that tell them, the cleaning person that tells that person that there's money in the safe and they get there and jewelry, and then they're mad at that person, want to kill that person. The thief does not break in an empty safe. So Satan is not going to mess with you, wouldn't mess with you if you don't have something that really, really offensive to him. He know that you have the Word of God inside of you, that you are striving to live holy, to live right, righteous before God. So he tried to torment you, come at us in every way with all type of stuff. And you think you're all that because you drive a big truck. You think you're all that because you got a fine car. You think you're all that because you live in a good neighborhood. You got a nice house and all that stuff. You think you're better than me? All that. That's Satan. Jealous. You don't have what they have. You understand? But they probably have more than you have. But they're jealous of what you have because what you have peace with what you have. I have neighbors by me. Man, have 3-4 cars. And they have plenty more money than me. But guess what? They look at me all the time like if I got all this stuff. I ain't got all this stuff. No, but I got Jesus. And that's more than he said, look, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. This is something to think about. God has identified us as his own children, as his own sons and daughters. So at the day of judgment, the day that he comes for his church, you will be saved. You won't be left behind because God, he identified, oh God, I hear you. We have his mark. We have the blood that's marking us as belonging to him. They give you a deep release here on the Logos Bible, but we're not going to go there. Let's go to glory to God. Let me see if I get that. See. Okay, let me go to this. He said, go for the Sabbath. He said, get rid of all bitterness, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Well, we ought not have evil behavior. Why? Because we belong to Christ Jesus. We are washed in his blood. When you find out that you want to get angry, you want to take up a baseball bat and bang somebody in the head or get a sword or a 9mm hurt somebody, that's coming from the devil. The devil want to put you back on the same, want to put you back on the same path that God has delivered you from. I was talking to a young man yesterday. He said he got one problem that's really bothering him. Love the Lord. Prays all the time. Have a good job. Very good job. Works out there in the oil and stuff with the Louisiana stuff. He fixed them big ships and stuff. Fixed the engine. He's a big-time mechanic. Makes a lot of money. Know his mother, his sister, father, all of them. Pray for them all the time. And he says, Apostle, I got one problem. And he says, I fight hard against it because you haven't given it to God. I said, I almost 30-some years, I stopped smoking cigarettes. And I used to fight hard. I was a chain smoker, smoked Marlboro. And I told him, the only one cigarette stronger than the Marlboro is one called the Camel. One of my brothers smoked the Camel. Don't have no tip, no filter. Strong cigarette. You can, the first time you smoke it in the morning, it gets you high, give you a rush. They call it lighthead. You know, thank God. You see, God is so awesome. I haven't taken no medicine. I tell you, I had a bad headache, and I prayed this morning. And I just realized that the headache is gone. I told Deacon Fraser, by the time I started preaching, the headache going to go. It's going to go. And I thought, I feel like the back of my head was going to drop off. And my doctor already called me this morning and said, don't take no type of ibuprofen or aspirin or Tylenol. Don't take that anymore. It's going to mess your kidneys up. So I can't take any of this stuff. But we are saved, born again. We have to take a deep breath. What I do? I told the young man, I said, no, if you give God the nicotine, he can take it away from me. I prayed one night. I said, Lord, I was just coming into Christianity. Even though I was brought up in church, but church was never in me. Never in me. I was doing going to church because my mama wanted me to go to church. I was going to Sunday school and Bible study and all that stuff as a little boy. Because she wanted all my family, all the other families from different, you know, was going. They had money and had the kids dressed up nice. We didn't have none. I had to wear the same clothes every Sunday. Shoes were holding the bottom and stuff, you know, all that stuff. Glory to God. And I told the man, I said, look, you could call him rich. I said, but you got to give God. Give God your burdens. That thing that's bothering you down, give it to God. He said, God, you know, I try to fix this for the longest time, but I can't fix it. Every time I try to fix it, it gets worse. And once you give it to him, then you got to leave it there. Because we have a tendency of giving God something, a problem, a situation. Because there is a problem to us, but to God it's just a situation. Because it takes us a long time to fix it, but he does like that and it's fixed. And he said, Apostle, I'm going to do that. You know, and I told him, I said, I'm going to pray for you every day. Because he got a case that he's fighting in school with, in the church, I mean, in the court with his ex-wife. His ex-wife is a witch. And he's doing all type of work and all type of witchcraft was when he had to get away from her. Her mother's a witch too, you know. And she tell his mother what she going to do to him. The witch things that she going to do to him. Tell his own mother that. She tell her husband, ex-husband, mother, all the witchcraft she going to put on her husband. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. See that? We got to forgive people, even though people coming against us and cutting up and want to tear us down. Man, forgive them people. Why? Because you belongs to God. Go to. I don't know if I write this one kind of. It could be 10. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3, because I probably make a mistake on that. And I'll check that in a second. Galatians chapter 3, and let us start a lot of scripture. You say the more word you get inside you, the more powerful you're going to become. You hear what I tell you? The more powerful you're going to become. But you got to keep putting word in. Keep putting word in. Every more word you put in, more word, more power. Like more prayer, more power. Just keep putting in word and rehearse your word. Go over the word. Don't just read the word one time. I mean, I go over the scripture so many times. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. It didn't say read. It says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you go over the word over and over and over till that word gets into your heart. I told my pastor one time, he said, I'm going home and getting away. He said, what you going to do this evening, son? We were back in Virginia then. He was young in the work. And he says, I said, you know, I thought it sounded good. I said, I'm going home and getting away. He said, no, don't go home and get in the word, son. Go home and get the word in you. Mess me completely up. He says, don't go home and get into the word. Go home and get the word in you. Much different. He sees a different terminology, the way you use it. See, I'm not going home and get in the word, but I'm getting the word inside of me. See, so I have to study this word. Go over and over and over till it take root inside my heart. You hear what I'm saying? You ought to do the same thing. And then you realize that things are happening for you. No, you're not so easily disturbed by what the enemy is doing. The enemy always coming in like a flood. He's trying to drown you in any way he can. This is what the enemy does. This is his job. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26. Let's start there. Let's say we might start somewhere. Verses 23. Let's start at verse 23. Okay. New Living Translation. See, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. In other words, the law is the schoolmaster. The law watches over us, leads us, teaches us what not to do. So he says, before the way of faith, which come by Christ, and Christ was available to us, we were placed on the guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please him. Please who? To please God. But that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The more you seek God, the more he's going to reveal to you who he is. He's going to reward you with knowing him even better. You understand? The more you seek him. You say, well, I've been studying the word, but I just don't understand. Keep studying it. Studying it, and you're going to see something going to happen. The word's going to come alive to you, and then you're going to start shouting. People are going to think that you're crazy in your house. They're going to think that you are a crazy person because now the word is coming alive to you. The more you study it. If you don't study it, you're not going to get it. Nobody can give it to you. You're going to just hear people talk and say, well, why are they so excited about the word? Why they get that stuff like that? They're studying it. Yes. In Hebrews, oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. You got these scriptures up here. Up here, short term. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. But let's go back to where we were first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Back to Galatians chapter 3. But the Holy Spirit pulling me back. I can hear these scriptures coming up. Oh, they're coming up like coming up inside of my spirit. And this stirring on the inside. Here, he says, look. Let me put it in another way. The law was all guardian until Christ came. It protected us till we could be made right with God through faith. And see, what faith does is faith calls us to believe in what we can't see. Trust what we don't know. Walk where we can't see. This is what faith does. So, see, when faith comes, you can trust in this awesome, mighty, sovereign God that you've never seen. You never really heard his audible voice. But something inside of you tells you that he's real. Something inside of you tells you that he is your protector. Something inside of you tells you that he is your supplier. Something inside of us tells us that he is our healer, that we can depend on him, that we can rely on him. That's what faith does. So he says to us, and now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as a guardian, as our guardian. He said, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We know who we are, and we know whose we are by faith. Hallelujah. By faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We know who we are. And because we know that, what happened is something begins, is happening in us. Something is separating us from the world. The world does not, no longer has power over us. It is still showing up its ugly head, but it no longer has power over us. Do you hear me today? Why? Because God has broken it at the cross. The Lord Jesus has broken his power at the cross. Now he says here, and I like how the NLT New Living Translation does it for us. He says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or free, female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. No, he's talking in the spirit right now here. There's no male or female in the spirit. I want you to know that. Glory to God. That's why he says we are all one. All the same. And now, listen, verse 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham. You must see this. This Bible
really messed me. Got it's 32 verses, but sometimes it goes to come back and changes when it shows me 29 verses. But you are heirs through faith.
God promised to Abraham that he would be father of many nations. And it all happens through faith, by faith.
Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me go over here. Because the Bible, the NLT is jumping around back and back and back and back on me. And so, hallelujah. Verse 30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Man, you don't want it any better than that. People going to come against us, going to do us some things that going to make us want to act a total fool. You understand? No, that's chapter 4. That's chapter 4. Just saw something there. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes. Glory to God.
You have to maintain a sense of discipline to who you are.
Because remember, we still have flesh. Understand? We still have flesh. And flesh is going to act up. It's going to act up out of itself. I've seen people, like I've seen the young man out there ministering in the street. And I prayed. I wept. I said, Lord, give me the boldness like this young man. I do crusades, and crusades open here in Africa. And when I go to Caribbean and stuff. But Then somebody come and bump you. You know they bump your in your chest with their chest or their belly, challenging you. You know, boy, you have to really have it together. And this is what they're doing to the Christians out there that are evangelizing. They're challenging them to fight because they're preaching Jesus. And when you preach Jesus, folk will come against you. Now, if you're talking about prosperity, oh, God wants to bless you, and God wants you to have this, and God's going to give you this. All you got to do is pay your tithes, give your offerings, and come to church. Oh, God's going to bless you. You don't have to worry. The life you're living is all right. As long as you come into God's house, you're okay. You know, they ain't going to trouble you. But the moment that you start to talk about sex that is not lined up with God, as long as you talk about people stealing, people living a homosexual lifestyle, a promiscuous lifestyle, let me tell you something. They're going to challenge you. They're going to want to hurt you. They're going to want to fight. What are you going to do? Are you going to reach in your pocket and pull out a knife? Or are you going to be preaching out there with a 9mm on your side or a Glock? Or are you going to have a Uzi sticking in your back? What are you going to do in your backpack? You're going out there to fight with the word of God. And you're going to have to be loving and kind. You're going to have to show the kindness of God wherever you are, even when people challenge you to want to fight you. Somebody may come and spit on you. I've seen this happen in England. The African guy was preaching. And the girl comes up, the white girl comes and spit on him. And he said, Jesus love you. Man, I'm telling you something. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help my weakness. This is the apostle telling you. I said, Lord, help my weakness. I've been doing this for many, many years. I said, Lord, help my weakness because I don't know. I'm telling the truth. I said, God, help me to be strong in my weakness. I don't know about you, because how's somebody come and spit on you? You're preaching the gospel. You're preaching good news to them, and they come and spit on you. Well, they spit on Jesus, spit in his face. On his way to Calvary, he had to go through 14 stations. That'd be 14 stops that he stopped. 14 stations. They spit on him. They kicked on him. They slapped him in his face. He didn't say a mumbling word. And this is what Jesus called him for us to do. Can you stand that somebody spit on you? Somebody kick you? Well, let me tell you something. Some of us don't even want people to just stand on your alligator shoes. They bump your alligator shoes, you ready to fight. You forget you're a Christian. You forget that you're born again. You forget that Jesus destroyed the power of sin at the cross. You forget it. You want to take up arms and fight. You become a gangster again. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me look in my page. Verses looks like, I think it looked, let me see, let me look down here, because my book is kind of messed up here for a minute. Jesus help us. Sometimes I can't understand my own writing. I don't know if you're the only one, I'm the only one. Let's start at verse 29. He says, think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. Just think about it. Just think about the people who mistreat God's Son. People are mocking all that he has done. Well, they're thinking the punishment. He said, listen, let's go back up to verse 26. He said, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For everyone who refused to obey the law of Moses, who was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to us. Something to think about. So when you see people acting and carry on, and you tell them that Jesus loved them and they're still carrying on, pray for them. Because there's serious judgment waiting for them. It was waiting for us. But God bless his holy name, bless the Son, his only Son that came down after 40 and two generations to lay down his life on the cross, that you and I would have access to the tree of life, that we could come and eat and drink without purchasing, because he already purchased everything for us. He made it possible. Why are we going to go back and walk down that wide road that lead to destruction? The path to righteousness, holiness is tight. It's tight. But it's right before us, it's Jesus. And many is not going to accept it or receive it, because it requires a lot. It requires us to do a lot. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. It requires us to do a lot. We don't want to. We don't want to do a lot. We don't want to do what God said, because our flesh has us in a state of confusion. Our flesh, your flesh, my flesh, have you and I, in a state of confusion. We don't want to give up. We don't want to give up the desire that the flesh is calling for. Do you know? You hear what I'm saying? We don't want to give it up. The flesh desire us to fornicate. The flesh desire us to steal. The flesh desire us to cuss. The flesh desire us to commit adultery, to lie, to cheat. We talk all about that just now in the book of Ephesians. We don't want to give it up. Because why? Why are you talking about it? Because it makes us feel good. When we smoke some coke, snort some dope, when we drink some alcohol, it makes us feel, when we go to the strip tea, the after hours, the early hours, happy hour, it makes us feel good. For 1 hour, we in the club. After that, we feel bad because we don't have no more money. We are broke, busted, and disgusted. Can't go home to your husband. Can't go home to your wife. Can't go home to your children. You don't have no money for their school. No money for their lunch. Oh, my God. It makes you feel bad. You wasted all your earnings, just like the prodigal son. Now you got to go home and face daddy. Here in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, let's see what he says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, we need to be led. Who's leading you makes the difference. Remember, in the world, we were being led by Satan. You may not think it, but it was. He was leading us. You know, there was times you said, I wasn't going to do this, I wasn't going to do that, but you end up doing it. You know who was leading you? Satan. He was messing with you and I in our thoughts. He was coming into our mind and giving us thoughts. That was Paul said, you got to cast down all thoughts and imagination. You got to cast down the thoughts. Because Satan is steady dropping thoughts inside of there, making us want to hurt somebody, making us want to hurt ourselves. I told about a young lady I ministered to for an hour and a half. Never met her before. And was on the phone ministering there from California. Satan had her. She was going through stuff with her boyfriend. And Satan had her on the point that she want to commit suicide. Never met her. And her cousin says, who used to be on, come on the line a lot, she says, I need you to talk to my friend. I never met the cousin either. She was in the armed forces. And she says, I need you to talk to the apostle. He going to spend the time with you. I spend the time an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, something like that. And was on the phone with her. And glory to God, by the time I get off the phone, she didn't want to take her life anymore. Because, see, Satan, he's shrewd, man. He's shrewd. He's a shrewd old devil. He going to drive a word in your head that make you want to give up, make you want to throw in the towel, makes you want to do stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing. And then if you're still alive, you'll be sorry. And if you ain't alive, other people are going to be worried. Why did you do that? Why did he do that? I thought she was so this. I thought she was so that. Because they haven't been paying attention to your life. They haven't been paying watching your watching and seeing all the little things that goes on that you do and say. Listen. Here, glory to God, where we are, we in Galatians chapter 5. He says, verse 17 says, the sinful nature works, wants to do evil. The sinful flesh, you can see it, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature or the flesh desire. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. See, there's a fight going on in me right now. One going on, you'll tell you the truth. One tells you, look, hang up the phone and get off. He is just talking too long. She is talking. You know, you go to certain, she's on day too long. I don't understand what she's saying. This is the flesh. The Spirit understands clearly what God is saying. Because it's not David Callan speaking. It's God taking us from here today to feed us, to take us to that dimension or that realm that he needs us in so that we'll be victorious. But the flesh says, why you got to hear all of that stuff? Why you want to hear all that's the war going on in your flesh, in our flesh? The flesh says, look, you're too tired, David. But why you got to get up and go turn on them computers? All them computers you got to run, you like you're in a studio. You don't need all that stuff. You don't need to. It's messing with you. All this stuff, messing with your eyes. You're doing it. You're tired. Why? Sleep today. You don't have to turn on it. But the Spirit says turn on. When you turn on the computer, I'm going to wake you up. Ah, the flesh said this morning, you got a severe headache. You can't take no medication. Because if you take the medication, according to my doctor, they called me yesterday and this morning they called me. I didn't answer the phone call. I didn't recognize the number. So they called me again this morning. Say your blood work was fine. Your cholesterol level is fine. Everything is fine. But there's a little disorder in your kidneys. Well, I don't have no kind of pain, no kind of restriction in my urine or anything like that. When I urinate, no pain, no nothing. You know, but he said, listen. I said, I'm not worried about that because I know what to do. I got the herbs here. I mean, if you see, I got a bookshelf. It's loaded down. Loaded down because that's where my money go. And he said, well, I know the same way you take care of your, I had a couple months ago, I had a trouble with my sugar level jumped up. Spiked up. He said, well, I wasn't going to put you on diabetes medicine because you don't have diabetes yet. But if you don't take care of it, you're at the point where you could have diabetes. I have to put you on. I said, no, you're not going to put me because I'm not sticking myself every day. When I went to Barbados, I've been there, I came back, and I saw the doctor. He said, Reverend, you know, I love you. This doctor, I just got him a couple of months ago because my doctor died with cancer, the doctor I had for years. And he said, man, I love you. He said, man, your blood sugar is perfect. You know, I said, I just knew what I have to do. I know I got this, everything that I have in here. You know, I have this stuff to work. And so I said, no problem. So I know what I have to do. Now, if this something is messing with, I eat a lot of stuff that I know that mess my kidney. So what I said, he told me this morning, so I said, no, I got my tea. I went and got me a teaspoon of baking soda. And put in the tea. And I turned it to, you know, it's hard to drink it. because it makes his tea now have a different taste. You know, that bitter taste from the baking soda. But I drink that, have that again later tonight. And then tomorrow I start the same thing. I do that for about 3 days and stop and go back to normal tea, herb tea. And then I go back and do it another 3 days. When I see him in November, my kidney's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. Because whatever been was messing with my kidneys, the baking soda can clean up. Understand? See, you got to know these things. A lot of people don't want to do it. But I tell you, you will never die from bad kidneys if you do what I say. Let's put a little baking soda. Just a little, not too much, just a little bit. Because if you put too much, it's going to have you going to the bathroom, I tell you, because it lacks it. But it will clean your kidneys up. Even with gallstones, they clean it up. Baking soda. Very powerful. The Germans used it for 66 years. Ain't nobody with damn with bad kidneys. The Germans did it. Use baking soda. That's what it is. But here, listen. Let's get to where we're talking too much. God giving us so much stuff. You got to listen to what he's saying, though. He said, look, oh, my God, Jesus, help us. Help us. Let me see where it was. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus contention. So he says, oh, bless the name of Jesus. I mean, look back my scripture here quick, Pastor. All right. Yeah. Galatians chapter 5. That's where we are. All right. Verse 18. He said, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, crawling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, when the flesh is in control, there's no way under heaven or earth that you can inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into God's holy place when the flesh is in control. So what Paul is saying today, that we have to understand who we are and whose we are, and that we have the power on the inside to help us to walk in righteousness and holiness. John, 1 John 4 and 4. Remember, he said, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have to know this. And then you got to operate at that realm or that dimension that you belongs to God. That you're carrying him on the inside of you to give you the power and the authority to overcome, to be victorious. Hallelujah. I tell you this morning that old flesh said, I've told the truth. I will not lie to you. That old flesh told me, David, you got the bad headache. You can't take no aspirin, you can't take no Tylenol, none of that stuff. Because detrimental to your kidneys. Man, lay down and sleep. And I took my blood pressure was perfect. Perfect. Because my blood pressure run now, I take like 119 over 70 or 71 or something. Or highest go is like 130 over 60 or 70 or something like that. I mean, blood pressure is always good. But the severe headache, and I can't take nothing. But I must eat, a muffin or something last night, sweet muffin, and it indeed do it. But my flesh said, lay down on the bed and let's sleep, and the headache would go in. But I said, no, I'm going to press on it. Here, looking. Say, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They're not of the natural. Okay? So we have to use these. These are praying. We are praying. Minister Jones and his mama, Prophetess Kershey, they're warriors, prayer warriors. And they pray every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. They get up, don't care why they're working the day before. They get up in the morning to pray on the prayer line. Warring, using spiritual weapons. Now he says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then he said, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience with your obedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Paul asked us. If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Let me tell you something, people. God is calling for us to walk as Christ walked, to live as Christ lived, to speak as Christ spoke. You understand? He said, for though I should boast somewhat, though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I were terrified you by the letter. See, sometimes we get excited. We don't want to say what we got to say. But we got to say what we got to say anyway, because our word, the word that God give us, is to edify the body, to lift up the body, to build up the body. We said that earlier in Ephesians chapter 4. We got to say what God say. This is how people are going to grow. Go to. Let me see where we are. Jesus, let's go. Okay, let me see where we are. We'll take us down. Hallelujah. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. That's what he says. All of those things that we said over in verse 20, 21, understand, you can't do those things because you are different. You have been changed. Your life is being renewed. You're not where you want to be yet, but you're not where you used to be. You know this because you can tell that the change that's taking place in your life. Things we used to do before, we don't do anymore. But there's still things in us that need to be worked out. You and I, all of us, that has to be worked out. So he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. You know, when I say the police car siren, and I hear that thing in the thing coming in my way, I pull over. He's falling behind me. I just pull over, let him go. I don't have to wait anymore because now I'm not under the law. Law has no power. I have no problems with the law anymore. I walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you are obedient to the law. So the law doesn't have control over you. It's not doing you any messing with you anymore. I remember one time when I was acting ungodly, every time I hear a police car, I'm driving, my right foot, we're shaking on the gas pedal, shaking. I can't keep the gas. I can't keep it steady, shaking. Just seeing the lights flashing and hearing the siren. Now they can flash, they can ring, they can don't ring. It don't bother me anymore because I have control over that flesh. Not fully control, but I have control enough to stand and know that I don't have to worry about the police and that stuff. He says, listen, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. This is what I tell you. The power of sin has been broken at the cross. This is where it's coming from. He says, since we are living by faith or by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. You have to, you know, this is one of the things in the church of today. Too much jealousy in the church. If you get too much hallelujah or too much praise when you're preaching, forget jealous. If the pastor calls out your name too many times, forget jealous. And we're in the same body. Man, if Providence come on here Friday morning and she teach and preach whatever the Lord give her, and she get 10 likes, 100 likes, 1,000 likes, because I got a page, there's a page in the book that I can go in on the computer, go and I can see how many people hit from all over the world. How many people like this sermon? How many like this sermon? I go all the way back to 2010 and I can go back in the archives and see. Man, I'm jealous of nobody. Ain't no one on earth can say, I don't care if you got a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, a Cessna jet, if you got two houses by the beach, I don't care about this stuff. You know what? You know what? I said, Lord, I just want to be close to you, Lord. I just want you to clean me up so that when the time comes for you to receive your church, your bride, that I don't be left outside. That the door don't close in my face. That's what I pray for. People are jealous. Well, they've been preaching. I'm getting a lot of hallelujahs, man. I'm in church. I just experienced that. I just experienced that. You hear what I'm telling you? Man, you a teacher, you a preacher, and you're preaching some doctrine, and you know the scriptures, folk that really love the Lord going to love what you're saying. Folk that don't, it doesn't matter if you say or you don't say. Galatians chapter 6. Let's go there. Start at verse 1. He said, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. You got to watch yourself. Hallelujah. Share each other's burden. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. And you are not that important. This is what Paul said. You are not that important. He said, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. This is what we all be living for. Hallelujah. See, I want Daddy to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Enter into paradise. He says, you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Are you working the work that God called you to work? Some folk can't work in the kingdom because their mind are too focused on self. That's why they're always ready to fuss for somebody. They don't like your teaching, don't like my preaching. But they say that they are saved and sanctified and going to heaven. The devil's a liar. We cannot go to heaven or enter into heaven's gate hating our brother or sister, despising our brother or sister. I'm telling you, the devil's a lie. Don't you believe that. And I know a lot of people like that. They can't stand their sister, can't stand this brother. They don't like you how you preach, don't like you how you teach, but they say they love God. Jesus said, how can you love me, you never see me, when you don't love your brother or sister that you see every day? Jesus said so. I didn't say that. He said so. But they said they're going to heaven. But listen to what Paul says. He said, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. I'm responsible for how I treat not only the fellow believers, people of the household of faith, but I am responsible for how I treat other people that's outside the walls of faith. Do you hear me? We are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers. Should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Oh, my God, my God, my God. That is a powerful verse right there in the NLT.
Glory to God. The King James said it a different way, but this shall. He said, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. He said, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if you don't give up. The Bible says, tithe of well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. He says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. But not only to those, understand. We have to allow the world, listen, those that don't know Jesus, to see Jesus in us. We used to sing a song in the church back in Virginia, the Jesus in me, love the Jesus in you. It's so easy to love. Why? When you have the love of Jesus in your heart, it's easy to love somebody. If it's not there, it's very difficult. It becomes a problem to love someone else. Let us go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I hope you're getting something out of this today. I hope so. Because I'm bubbling up inside my spirit right now. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. I got a lot of highlights on this Bible, so this might be going to be sweet to me. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start at first. Oh, Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm looking at the scripture in that one. Start at verse 1. Living the new life. Okay. Since you have been raised in new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. See, I'm not thinking about the new car that they want me to come down to the dealership and get. Because my car is working fine. God makes sure that my car is not breaking. It's not breaking. One lady called me the other day. She said, well, my Cadillac won't start. I said, did you check the battery? He said, nothing happened in the key. Well, she managed to get down to the dealership, to the car place, you know, Track Auto someplace, and Auto Advance or something. And the man told her, well, she need a battery, $200-some. But the battery's working. God has let my car go now. Oh, my God. 9 years. And God, people have their car like breaking down. And look, my car is up there. They call me now and say, well, Mr. Cadillac, come on in. You come and get it. I said, no, need a new Cadillac. I don't need a new Escalade. God paid for that Escalade. Don't owe nobody anything. And I'm going to go get a new Escalade to put myself in $100,000 in debt, $150,000 debt. So what? No. Listen. Here, my mind is on heaven. I don't know. I'm closer to heaven now than when I first started ministry. He promised me 3:10. I'm over that right now. I'm over that. So I'm satisfied with what God has granted me to enjoy while I'm here on the earth. He says, set your realities on heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. He said, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. We are too focused. These preachers today, all they're thinking about is money. All they think about is being rich. No, I need some money too, but I need some money to help the poor. Help those that are less fortunate than me. I just told my granddaughter last night, yesterday morning I was taking her to work, and I said, you see the piece of land right there? I said, I'm going to get the land. She said, Grandpa, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to build some houses down there for the vets that are sleeping here on the streets, sleeping underneath the bridge that the government wouldn't do nothing for. They send all the money to Ukraine, send the money to Mexico and all the different countries. And we got these people here dying that fought for this country, fought that so we can have some freedom. And now our freedom is being taken away. All these thousands and thousands of millions of people coming over the border, killing people, going in people's houses, robbing people, stealing people's stuff. And it's going to get worse. I know them people looking for a better way, but
but there's a way to come into the country. But this president don't want to bring, don't want to do that. He wants to break the law. He wants to break the law. All of them breaking the law. All of them, Democrats and Republicans, they're all breaking the law. They need to move all of them out of the place and get new president, new Democrat, new House, and new Senate. Get all new. Congress needs to be completely revamped because they don't care about this country. They care about their pocketbook. They got so much money, they call you every day. Every day I get 100 calls, 100 emails from Senate and from Congress, Senate and the House, Republicans and Democrats. I get 100 calls and emails every day. All they want money. I told them I don't send money to nobody. I sent them some money one time, and they wouldn't leave me alone. I said, no, I don't send any more money to anybody. In the country that I was born in, you know, in the Caribbean, the politicians don't beg for money. You know what they do, Apostle? They go around and give people an envelope. Said, vote for me here. They give people $100, $200, $300. They give people, they don't care who you are, your name, rest of the vote, they give you $200, $300, $400, $500. They pay you to vote for them. And some people take the money and vote for somebody else. These people call you, and if you give them $10 one time, they got it on the computer now that on the internet stuff that you give $10. They say, well, $10, come on, your check and come every month, $10. It's not one time $10. They take $10 every month, $10, more, $10, every month. They do that all the time. Okay. Let me see who this person is, because I don't know if this is another person. Come on here. I'm cussing all that stuff, then I have to block him real quick. But here in his text right here, this is the last scripture I might give you today. Let me see what my time is. I'm going to run a lot of time, but people
Hello?
Are responding, so I give you a lot. Okay, let me. This is this guy going to come in here with his stuff. Let me put him on spot. No, that's the guy. That's him. Okay, good. Thank God. But listen. Let's go back into this word. That's that guy. That's that guy. Hallelujah. He's coming here. He's going to start cussing all kinds of stuff. Okay, listen. Let me go here. Let me get the scripture up here fast. We just got a few more verses to give you. He says, think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. No, you can't ask. I mean, right there, I got to highlight that on my Bible in the computer. No, right there, Apostle, let me, you see that. We know this scripture. Man, see, he's going. See, he's getting ready to cuss. See, that's the same guy. He come back in there with another number. You see, come back in with another number. Now he come in with a 757 number before. Now he come in now with a 212 number. See, the devil is something else. I told you about that yesterday. He said, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, anger of God is coming. Now, you know that the wrath of God is coming to earth because of people are so greedy, full of jealousy, full of contention. Do you know that? It's coming to the earth, and it's coming quicker than we know. Quicker than we know. And all these folk that think that they're coming against God and they're coming against Jesus, watch for the wrath of God. It's coming, because the sinner can't escape it. If they have not repented and given their heart to God, they can't escape the wrath of God. They want to go to hell. They want to go to hell. They think that there's going to be a party down there. They're going to be a carnival down there. There's going to be a Mardi Gras down there. They think it's going to be happy hour. But let me, in hell, there's no, not even a drop of water in hell. All down there is the lake of fire and brimstone. Torment from morning to night. Let the devil fool you all. Let him fool you all that you're going to have a good time. Selling your soul to the devil because you want to live sinful. Listen to what he said. This is the word of God. He says, because these things, the anger of God is coming. He said, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behavior, excuse me, slander and dirty language. Don't die to each other. Excuse me. Holy Spirit, clear my mind that I see this thing, see the word clearly. Let me go back to this verse and get this word. He says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. He said, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Now, this is so important that we get this here. You say, but Pastor, how do I put on a new nature? You start to activate the very instructions that God gives to you and I. We activate these teaching in our living. We treat people, don't matter what their sin is. I have a lot of gay people. I don't like their sin, but I love them. I have a lot of people that smoke dope. Burn cocaine, smoke crack cocaine. I don't love the sin, but I love them. Because I used to be a cocaine smoker, and I knew what it did to my family. I knew that it almost destroyed us. I tell you for sure. I had to live in Salvation Army for 11 months from my family. My family didn't want me. Didn't need me. They need me, but they didn't want me because why? My lifestyle was out of sync. My living didn't line up. And God said to us that we have to put on, listen. Put on your new nature. Hallelujah. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. And see, this is not a one-time thing. People think that when you get, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that all of a sudden you know Him. No, you're getting to know Him. You're learning to know Him, who He is. Not of Him, but Him, knowing Him. Because a lot of people are in the house of household of faith, but they don't know God. They don't have a spiritual relationship with Him. They look down on people because they don't know the Master. The Master never looked on anybody. He reached down to pick them up. He didn't look down on anybody. You know, when the woman, one of the first women that come to Jesus, she was a prostitute. She was a adulteress, one of the first women that came to Him. And He knew because He knew all things, not something, and He didn't shoo her away. I was just watching a movie last night with the chosen one, and Jesus always tells people He waited, and the sun was 120-some degrees, almost 130 degrees in Israel at Jacob's Well. My son went there. He went to Jacob's Well, and he said, Daddy, you never feel the sun till you go to Israel. He says, this is some serious sun over there. And Jesus sat in that sun. He told the disciples, go into the, they said they were hungry. They had to go walk about a mile to go to get something to eat. And Jesus sat at the pool, at the well, waiting for the woman that was an adulteress. She had five husbands. And the one she had wasn't hers. And Jesus sat there and talked to her. She looked at Jesus. Well, you know, when you see the picture, it really opens the scripture to you. And Jesus was talking to her. He said, well, give me a drink of water. And she was steady trying to draw her water. And then she looked over at Jesus. She said, well, why you ask me for water? Aren't you a Hebrew? And you know Hebrews don't have any dealing with us Samaritans. Samaritan is a half Jew and not a full Jew. You know, so Jesus says, well, all I'm asking for is some water. He said, he told the woman, he said, if you know who it is that asked you for water, you would give him, because the water he would give to you come out of your belly, a river of living water, spring, he said, a spring flowing with living water. She said, but how can you give me water? You don't even have anything to draw the water. And the well is deep. Ah, so Jesus broke out. He said, well, why don't you go call your husband? Bless me, they do last night. I laid up watching that on my computer. And Jesus told her, why don't you go call your husband? I can discuss with your husband. Because, you know, usually the men didn't talk to the women that much. They'll talk to the man. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you have rightfully stated you don't have a husband, because he said the one you have is not yours. You had five husbands, and the one you have. And he started naming the husband by name. So he talked to him about, are you a prophet or a Messiah? Are you the Messiah? Because when the Messiah comes, he's gonna lead us in all truth, and he's going to take us to the place of truth, because in Jerusalem we can't worship because the Jews don't allow us. And Jesus told him that neither in Jerusalem or on this mountain will you worship, because you would worship and God come, you would worship, and he's looking for true worshipers who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, but who you spoke to, he said, but the one you're speaking to now is he. So she said, you're the Messiah. He said, I am he who you speak of. She dropped down. I'll tell you something. It's just stupid. That's how it goes. She dropped her water pots and took off. She said, I got to go into town. Now, the woman that was afraid to come to the well to draw water because of her lifestyle, her sinful lifestyle, now she has gone back into the city to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm letting you know that Jesus, He gives us an example. It doesn't care what any sin that people are going to hate us, because they think that we hate them because of their lifestyle. They don't understand it's not them that we hate, it's the sin. Jesus don't hate the sinner, but he hates every sin, S-I-N. Jesus hates sin. And Jesus expects us, you and I, we, to hate sin. If you like to break into people's houses and rob people and hurt people, I hate sin. I hate that. I do. I don't care. If you're going, my sister back in the Caribbean, I want to go back down there in November, but I got so many things going on right now. And she got this giant mango tree, big mango tree. Oh, man, hundreds of mangoes on the tree. I told her, I said, girl, I wish I was here when the mangoes are ripe. I brought back some leaves with me to make some mango tea. Mango tea, that's good for your blood too. Mango, and take the leaves and boil them, just add a little honey. I got a bag of leaves I brought back with me. Yeah, but the people come by and pick the fruit. She don't really care. But in my time when I was growing up, they would call that stealing the people mangoes that don't belong to them. You know, I hate that. You know, because if they go and knock the door and say, "Well, Gloria, can I have some mangoes?" She would say, pick as much as you want. But, you know, they'll wait till the door's closed and think that she's sitting there because she lives by herself. And they'll go pick as much mangoes as they want. Steal them. I hate that. That's the only hate that I hate. I don't hate nobody. No human being on this earth. I don't care what sin that you're committing. If you're an adultery, if you're a fornicator, if you're homosexual, if you're lesbian, if you're stealing, if you're robbing people, I don't hate you. I don't care who you are. I can't, because of who I am. I can't hit you. I'm a servant of God. I come to serve God people. Somebody loved me enough to pray for me when I was in sin. I was a fornicator. I was an adulterer. I steal from my family. I stole from my family. I didn't steal from nobody. I stole from my family. I gambled. Man, I did all kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And God despised that. He didn't like that about me. And he had to come into the crack house. He came in there in his spirit and took me out the crack house in my sinful state. And he let me know that he loved me even while I was sinning. He let me know he loved me. I cried, man. People said, "What are you crying?" I said, "God is speaking to me." And he said he loved me. I cried like a baby. He said, I love you. You don't have to live this way. And he took that desire from me and set me free from that vice. That's why I pray for people all the time. Pray for people. But I'm never going to be in agreement with sin. If they want to kill me for my message, then go on and kill me. All they're going to do is send me home to be my daddy quick. They just send me home to be my daddy quick. But I'm going to preach and teach just what you hear me preach all the time. You got to get away from sin. You got to repent. You got to give your life to Jesus Christ. You got to make a decision you want to live holy. Because if you continue to live a promiscuous lifestyle, a lifestyle that's contrary to the order of God, you're going to go to hell. It's no two ways about it. I can't tell you don't lie. I can't tell you. Now we got this devil here that is trying to get on here on this line. You know, if he was, or I know the number. I know the voice, see? Because these numbers now is new numbers that they use today. And they come on, once I let him on the line, he's going to start talking about this, and they're going to want to make Jesus, he's going to want to make our God to be a homosexual. You understand? Of course, he said that before one time. You know, but I'm not going to give him that opportunity. Just God, give me that discernment. I discern that he's getting ready to do that. And he changed the number. It's coming with one number, then coming another number. It's coming with the third number. But I put him in the waiting room. He can hear me speaking, but he can't say nothing to disturb the recording. But Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. And we are praying, our prophetess Shel is on the line. We're praying that she'll be able to come in and teach on Friday or Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, so that I'll get a rest from my voice for a little bit. You know, I can sit back and be fed by somebody else, because I like to be fed too. Because I don't know it all. I love to be fed. Some preachers want to preach all the time. But it's good to sit down and God give you help. He give you help so you can get help from them. You know, some preachers say, well, I got 16 deacons in here. I got four deacons. I got four elders. And I got system pastor. But they preach every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every Saturday morning. Every time the door open, they preach. Well, why God give you help? God give you help so you can sit down sometime and get fed by somebody else. You know? You don't cook all the time if you got a husband. If your husband knows some stuff, he ought to be cooking too. Let you just sit back and eat off of his hand. Let me cook you today. Cook for you today, baby. Let me make you breakfast this morning. Just sit back and relax. Let me cook for you. This is what we do. You understand? This is how it works. But the preachers want to preach all the time because they want to hear themselves. They want to hear themselves. Oh, I got to preach tomorrow. I got to preach Wednesday. I got to preach Friday. I got to preach Saturday. No, sit down. You got people to help you. You know, that's why we have many members, but one body. Many members, but one body. We help one another, help us one to another in one body, preaching. I'm going to teach all the time if nobody comes to teach. If nobody want to help in the kingdom, I'm going to teach because I ask God for power. I ask him the power to preach, to teach, not power to show off. I ask him to power because you need power to preach. You can't preach and you don't have no power. You know, you need power to preach. So I ask God for power to preach the word of God. Gave me the authority that when the devil hear my voice, he said, no, I can't go over there. That man got power over there. He got power. He preaching with the power of God. God used God speaking through him, you know. God speaking through him. That's what you need the power for. Let God speak through you. So if you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, I want to give these people some time to record. This is a good day, a good time. The Bible says, Peter says in Acts 2 and 38, he says, repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, everybody got to repent. Don't care who you are. If you want to go to heaven, heaven is real. I don't care what nobody says. These folk in the world that live in a promiscuous lifestyle are saying that there's no heaven, there's no hell. They think that they're gonna sin and they're going to do all the stuff they want to do that make them feel good. Hallelujah. They want to make a man a woman and make a woman a man. They want to do all these things. They want to take the little babies and rape the little babies and all this kind of stuff, and they think they're going to heaven. And some of them think, well, I can do all this stuff because it makes me feel good. This is what I want to do, and I'm still going to go to heaven. But let me tell you something. If you sin according to this word of God that I have here in my hand, you're going to hell. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. And some of these preachers inside the church building is living a sinful lifestyle. And think they can get away, they can escape God's judgment. God's judgment is coming so fast. So fast. Hallelujah. It's coming so fast. Look over there and see that whole place in Mario. in Hawaii. Whole place burned down. All them houses, all them cars, all them expensive cars and expensive homes, all the money gone. Said burn them. Red them bands, red them pictures, all that stuff burned up. Judgment. Look here, we had so many tornadoes in the last month here. Houses torn down. Money gone. Cars gone. Man in the tree, sitting in his car, the tree fall down, kill him in the car. He didn't think he was going to die in the car. He just sitting in the car there, just chilling in the car. And the tree come up and kill him in the car. Young man, this is serious. Because we think we can go in the world and we can live any kind of way, and God going to just sit on his throne and just, I don't have to worry about them there down there. No, God wants every soul to be saved. He said so in Ephesians chapter 18, verse 4. He said, every soul is mine, but the soul that sinner shall die. He's talking about spiritual death, because all of us are going to die. I'm going to die sometime, too. Sometime, I'm going to die. But I'm hoping that not too soon, because I still want to reach out and touch somebody's heart with the word of God. I'm praying that God will love me to touch somebody's heart with the word of God before I go, you know. We have over 300-something thousand people that we're reaching all over the world. Just talked to Pastor Gudishan, sent me a message last night from India. We're reaching people all over the world for the kingdom. Because you know why? Because we love God's people. We love all the people. Not only the household of faith, but all the people, those that are living a lifestyle that contribute to God's world. We love them. Jesus said he comes to save those who are sick, not the ones who think they're healed. He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost, and I was lost. I was lost in the crack house. I was lost in the whore house. I was lost in fornication, lost in adultery, doing all kind of stuff. And he reached out and saved my life. And folk let the devil tell them that they can't be saved, and that the church don't like them, and all this kind of foolishness. The devil's a liar. And then they become angry with the people of the church. They want to fight. They want to kill you. They want to burn down the church. They want to mark up the church with all type of blood and all kind of stuff and paint and stuff they put on the church buildings that they don't belong to. They should be locked up and put away when they do them kind of insane things. Because they get angry. That's what the Bible talks about. They get angry against people. And now the devil got them burning down the churches and killing the preachers and all that stuff. Because they want the preacher to be in agreement with them for their sin. That's what they want. They want us to be in agreement with sin. No, I love you. I love you, man. I love you, sister, but I do not love your sin. And if that's enough for you to make you kill me, come on. Kill me. My daddy's waiting for me anyway. I go everywhere. I travel everywhere. Everywhere. I don't carry no gun. I don't carry no knife. I don't carry no taser. You know, I got a bulletproof vest. I don't even wear it. I don't wear it. Brand new in the box. I bought it about 6 or 8 years ago. I don't carry it with me. But if they want to kill me because I preach the truth, guess what? I'm going to be home as fast as you can snap your finger. I'm going to be there because I asked God, I want to be home with you, Daddy. When it's all said and done, I want to come home to be with you. So I got to live to go home. Don't let nobody stop you from preaching the truth, man. I'm telling you, preach it with fire. Preach it with authority. This is what you got to preach the truth. Folk won't get mad at you to get mad at Jesus and put him on a cross. And he didn't even say a mumbling word because he knew for that cause he came to the earth, that he would be a sacrifice for you and I, giving us a chance that we can cry, Abba, Father. We can cry, Abba, Father. He died so we can cry, Abba, Father. Father, we just thank you right now. Bless the airways, Lord. Continue to bless the airways. Continue to bless those that hear this word, heard this word today, Lord. We ask, oh God, that if there's somebody out there today that don't know Jesus, Lord, we want to give them the opportunity to just cry out to you. Cry out this morning. Call out to you this morning. Oh God, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she cried out and she came through the crowd, oh God. Even the apostles, the disciples, they want her to touch you. And they wanted her to shut up, and she continued pressing in on her all fours just to touch you, Lord. Somebody out there, let's just pray. If you don't know Jesus today, we want to give you the opportunity. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Bible says that God sent his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believe on him to have everlasting life. Whoever believe on him. If you call on him, you have everlasting life. But you have to repent first. Repenting means that you got to turn away from the sin. Turn away from the, stop sinning. Hallelujah. And God did not send his son this world to condemn the world, but he sent his son that the world through him might be saved. He is the Holy One of Israel, the unblemished Son of God, no sin, no spots, no wrinkles. And he came, laid down his life on a cross while everybody was fussing and stuff. He laid down his life, giving us access, access to heaven. He is the doorway to heaven. He is the doorway to the throne room. All you have to do is repent. That's not too much. Just repent and invite him in your heart. So if you don't know him, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A-double-L, you and I. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible also says that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm just giving you what is in my spirit right now. So you have to get make up in your mind. You see, Christ is at the door of your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And he said, if you would open the door and invite him in here, come in and sup with you and you with him. He wants to be in your heart. He wants to just, he's already fallen in love with you because you belong to God. You see, remember he said, all sins are mine. All souls are mine. Remember he said, all souls are mine. So he already calling you his son, calling you his daughter, but you got to repent and get up from that stuff that you're in. Because you can't come and carry that stuff. You got that heavy load that's weighing you down. You got to let go of that heavy load, that load of sin. Hallelujah. You see how, and watching them fellas coming on the line there just now, and they show you how desperate, but determination the devil has. They're trying the best to get on the line because they know if they get on the line, they're going to say something nasty. Because that's what we're doing for over the years. They've been doing that now for 13 years. They've been doing that for 13 years. Trying to get on Blog Talk Radio to come on and say, well, they're going to say, well, I know God. And then they're going to say that he had an encounter, a sexual encounter with Jesus. He's going to start, he's going to say that. I know that's what he does. And once he get on recording, I got to go through a whole lot of rigmarole to try to get it deleted off the page. So I'm not giving that chance. They've been that a couple of times, but. No more. No more. Once you recognize his voice. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'll give you several scriptures to let you know that what you have to do to receive Jesus, how you have to surrender, how you have to turn your heart, your life over to him. Because you can't live the same life expect that you're going to walk with Christ. Christ is holy. And he's not going to accept anything else but holiness, righteousness. When you come into him, and you give your heart to him, guess what happens? Everything that you have ever done before this moment, he will wipe away. He will wipe your slate clean, make it clean, so that you understand that you belong to him. Now you will take on his righteousness. He'll take your sin, and he will nail it to the cross. All you have to do is invite him in. And for do that, you say, Lord Jesus, say that with me. Lord Jesus, I heard the word today, and I am convicted on the inside that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I recognize that you are the only one with the authority to save my life. So today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents. Jesus, I'm coming to you with open heart. And I'm inviting you, come in my heart. Into my heart. Live on the throne of my heart today. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that prayer, you believe what you just said out of your mouth, the word that came out of your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Believe what I'm telling you. You have just received it. It is yours. Do you hear me? It is yours. Now you need to get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
oh God, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, the El Shaddai, the Jehovah Yeshua, the Jehovah Tiskanu, that loved us enough to lay down his life that we could have the right to the tree of life. He comes in. He's in your heart. Now, begin to thank him. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving my life today. For setting me free from the pit of hell. And give me access to the throne room where the Father is. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 and 38. I receive you now, Jesus. My friend, you study in your Bible, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. They may say, I don't baptize in Jesus' name. Be baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost, according to Matthew 28 and 19, but don't get angry. Say, okay, if the pastor said we don't baptize in Jesus' name, so I will get back in touch with you. Leave the bridge open. I like to call it a bridge. Leave the bridge open that you can walk back over if you got to go back over, because that may be the very place that God used you to become the interim pastor if the pastor retired or if they vote the pastor out because of some financial problem. And it happens, okay? They say, well, you know that young man, oh, I hear this young man is preaching very well, and he don't have a church. He don't have a church. But why don't we call him and give him a chance to be the interim pastor? But somebody might say, well, you know, when he came home for the pastor, he didn't want to be baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he act very belligerent. They don't want you to be the church, the pastor, because of the way you act. So leave that bridge open. Tell the pastor you're going to get back in touch with him and look for a pastor that will baptize you the way that you, the Bible requires you to be baptized. And then you might visit the church from time to time. The pastor might say, well, you didn't come. We didn't look for you. So, well, you know, something has come up, and so on. So just kick the bobo. Leave the door open fine. And after you get going to get baptized, you invite your friends, your family, co-workers, and even your enemies. You're going down in this liquid grave, giving your life to Jesus Christ completely, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. That's how you're getting baptized. And you're going down in the water, my friend. And you're doing that water, you're leaving everything that you talk about in Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6. You're leaving everything in the water. The malice, the hatred, the jealousy, the contention, all that stuff you're leaving in that water. But when you come up in that water, come out that water, you're coming up in the righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God through Christ. Okay, ready? Come up in right standing. That's all it's saying. You come up in right standing. God through Christ, okay? Now find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved, my friend. Get involved in ministry. Call up tell the pastor, look, if you get in the church that teaching, not one that teaching prosperity. We teach the principles of God. That's what we teach here, the principles. You want to be in a church that's preaching the principles and get yourself involved. And once you get involved, start doing something. Pick up trash, clean the yard, clean the sanctuary, do something. Don't just be an idler, you know, just do something. Ask the pastor, say, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do, Pastor? What can I do? Ask the pastor. They're going to give you some work. But pastor like you, like people that come in and ready to go to work, not people come and sit down idle. Pastor like you that. You come in and want to work, pastor going to put you to work. Listen to me. So we thank God for those that hear the word today, those that's going to go to work for the kingdom. And we pray that you work hard, you know, because the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. The line is open now. I'm finished. I'm tired. The line is open. Anyone want to come in and give us some help? The line is open. God bless you. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the people that came on today, all of your children that came on and heard this word. We ask blessing upon blessings and blessings upon blessings, O God, that you continue to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, O God. God, that you impart new wisdom, new revelation, O God. God, we pray for Brother Deacon Frazier. Lord, we ask you to bless him. God, bless his mother, bless his, all his family members, and keep them safe and secure, O God, even till, I don't know if his father's been buried yet, but we ask, O God, that even in the homegoing service, if he's not buried yet, Lord, that somebody gets saved, O God. We pray for Brother Mark, O God, to come on here every time to hear the word. We ask that you strengthen him, O God. Empower him with a greater understanding of who you are, O God, and a greater trust, O God, that he trusts you to the ultimate, O God, knowing that you are the one that makes the difference in what he say and in what he do, O God. We pray, Father God, that you continue to make crooked places straight for him and rough places plain, O God. We pray for Prophetess Kershey, that she would get on Friday and preach or on Saturday afternoon. And we pray for her son, Minister Jones. He's out there driving a tractor trailer, but he stayed on here all day to listen, keep his phone on so that he could hear the word of God while he's working. We ask, Father God, to bless him. Bless him. Bless his wife who comes on here. And while she's at work, she can't really talk, but she can hear the word of God. And we ask you to bless the Lord. Bless her. And God, you continue to order her steps in your word, O God. Protect her, Lord. Protect her going and protect her coming, O God. Lord, you are the great protector, Lord. And Father, we love you. We love you so much, O God. Thank you for loving us and keeping us secure, Lord God, in all that we see and all that we do, Lord God. You are our everything, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, O God. Lord, make our crooked places straight, God. Thank you for Pastor Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, O God. We thank you for their ministry, O God. And thank you, O God, for their ministry of help, O God. How they help us in everything, Lord God. They go so into our ministry that we can help others, O God. And we thank you, Father God, for those, the people that are sewing into their ministry, O God, and keeping their ministry going, Lord. We bless you today, Lord. Now, Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God. We ask, Father God, that you watch over us, O God. Watch over our families. Watch over our husband. Watch over our wives. Watch over our children. O God, everything that concerns us, Lord, we ask you. And we thank you for being concerned about the things that concern us, O God. To keeping us when we can't keep ourselves, O God. And, O Father, we ask today, in the precious name of Jesus, that you continue to do for us what no one else could and no one else will, O God. And our Father, we bless you, we praise you, we glorify you. We continue to honor you, Lord God, with everything that's within us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loves them, you love them. And Jesus is the only way. As it's the only word that will make a difference in other people's lives. May stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from kidnapping a child or murdering a child or even breaking into someone's home. Oh, God, doing some heinous work. Oh, God, we pray today, Lord God. Pray today that the love of God will begin to resonate in our nation, that you would touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress, touch the senators, oh, God, touch the Supreme Court Justice Department, the fire department, the police department, touch the nurses and the doctors, oh, God. So many nurses are becoming corrupt and doing things that they normally wouldn't do, Lord God, but they're killing the kids in the hospital, the babies, and then going back and telling the mothers that the babies died when they have taken the baby's life, Lord God. We ask Father God to remove that satanic spirit out of the hospital rooms, oh God. Oh, Father God, and let true nurses take their rightful position, because they make an oath when they go into the school. They make an oath that they would take care of patients, oh God. They will do all that they can do in their natural presence to protect life, oh God. Because you're the one that gives life and you're the one that should take life. But now the people are taking life. We ask, Father God, Lord, that you bless us with a greater understanding, oh God. That you give us the mind of Christ, oh God. A mind to love, a mind to care, a mind, oh God, to be willing to forgive and forget, oh God. So many people say they forgive, but they don't forget. We ask, oh God, that you come against every spirit of witchcraft that come against us, every witch, every warlock that try to work against us and try to hinder us from doing the ministry. We ask you, oh God, to fight all battles, oh God. Because the battles are too strong for us to fight, oh God. So we are depending on you, trusting on you, relying on you to fight, oh God, and win the battles, oh God, for us, oh God. Oh God. And Father, we are careful each day to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Because, Father, we recognize that you and you alone are worthy of all honor and praise, oh God. All the adoration, oh God. We give it to you, Lord Jesus. We're not trying to hold any of it, to take any of it, because it belongs to you, Lord God. You pay the ultimate price on Calvary. Praise every worship, oh God. Every song that we sing to you, Lord God, you deserve, Lord God. So we thank you, Father. We thank you and we praise you, oh God. Thank you for your son, sending your son to die for us, that we have access to the tree of life, to the bread of life, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you for the healing virtue that released today, even on this blog talk, really, that has gone forth over the earways, oh God. That there's somebody out there today that's waiting on this virtue, oh God, to touch them, the inner man, oh God, and wake them up from the death sleep that they were on, oh God. Wake them up. The doctor said they wouldn't make it, but God, you have sent forth the virtue, oh God, that bring the deaf alive, causes the crippled to walk and the dumb to talk and the deaf to hear. Oh God, we just pray today, Lord God, that as it left my mouth and went out, oh God, that you have honored it, God. You open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. And God, that you stop the drunkard from getting drunk, oh God, that you stop the heroin addict from using heroin. You stop the dope addict from using dope, oh God. Oh Father, stop the prostitute from prostituting. And the homosexual from doing homosexual acts, oh God. The lesbian from doing lesbian acts, oh God. Oh God, yes, Lord, we ask, God, that you do, yes. Touch every marriage, oh God, that's going through right now. We ask you to touch that marriage that is about to just throw in the towel. They just had so much fights that they have gotten to a place that they just give up. They just throw in the towel. So we don't want to be in marriage anymore. I was talking to a lady for some time. I was talking to her for a little while on the phone, and we were just talking, you know. She's a Christian woman, and she's been married for a long time, and she said that they had filed for divorce, and they were getting divorced, and I'm talking to her, and I talked to her, the spirit comes, and then after a while, she told me, she said, Apostle, we're going to reconcile our differences. And I said, glory to God, you know, because God is able. He is able. You know, he's an able God. Even though it looks like the devil going to dismiss it, he's going to break up everything. We trust God. Trust God. God is able to do it. Hallelujah. That son that ran away and said he didn't want to mess with his father and mother anymore. He's give up on them. He's given upon his family. God says, I'm bringing your son back home. Your daughter, oh God, she's missing for a while. Hallelujah. Police is looking for her, took her. But God says the captors have to release her. I don't know who you are, who this is for, but God said the captors have to release your daughter. She's out there in computer land. God said the captors have to release her. And if you believe, just receive it. Just receive it. But God says she's coming back home. You hear me? She's coming back home. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing in my spirit. God says she's coming back home. He's coming back home. You see, the Bible says it very clearly because the devil is smart. He's very smart. He'll make you don't receive with God speaking the atmosphere for you to receive. Just pull it down by faith and say, this is for me. I thank you. My daughter's coming back home, and without her, my son is coming back home without her. My son is getting off of crack cocaine. My daughter's getting off of methamphetamine. They're not going to vape anymore. They're stopping vaping. You got to claim that thing. You got to speak it in the atmosphere. You got to take control and say, yes, Lord, I receive it. I receive it, oh God. I'm not going to let the tormentors torment me anymore. I have victory. I'm more than a conqueror. I stand above and not beneath. I am a lender, not a borrower. Oh God, you got to speak that thing in the atmosphere. Thank God. Everything is turning out for my good. Hallelujah. It didn't seem like I was able to do this or do that. But with God's help, I'm able to do it right now. With God's help, I'm able to do it right now. Because God is making crooked places straight for me right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. You got to claim that thing. Hallelujah. Sickness have no power over my body. Hallelujah. I am not lacking anything. You got to speak that thing in the atmosphere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You somebody looking for a job, you got to say, I got my job. I got my new job already. I got my new job already. The enemy want to stop me, but I got my new job because God has provided for me. He said, I supply all your needs according to riches and glory. So you got to claim that thing. You got to receive that thing by faith. Hallelujah. You got to speak that thing in the atmosphere. Power and authority has been given to us in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Power and authority have been given to us. So we got to receive it. We got to receive it. We got to walk in the power. Walk in authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, we just thank you. Let me just get out of here. And I'll see you all back here on tomorrow. If the Lord say the same. And I'm on this side of the grave. We are on this side of the grave. Hallelujah. Healthy and wealthy in the spirit. Hopefully pray that I get the phone call that I'm looking for. And if I get the phone call, we will have more than enough, so we can help many, many people all over the world. In Jesus' holy name. Have a blessed evening, a safe evening. And if you got to go, make sure you trust Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Depend on him. If you got to go out, don't let the enemy stop you from praising him. Don't let the enemy distract you and make you get all angry. Remember, we talk about that. Don't get angry and let the sun go down on your anger. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. You know, you can get angry. Everybody get angry. Even Jesus get angry. He went into the temple and turned over the tables. And the money changers, he turned the tables over and whipped them with a rope. Drive them out of the house of God. And told them, my house of God, the Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You make it a house, a den of thieves. So but don't let the sun go down with your anger. You know, anger and sin not. Be angry, but sin not. God bless you all. Have a safe evening and pay attention to your surroundings. Hallelujah, because we're living in a very dangerous world now. It's not the same world as when I was growing up. You know, you have to be careful how to pay attention. So hopefully I see you all tomorrow. God bless you and be safe. In Jesus' name, amen.